You, Nate, very much. That's great. Well done, Nate. Folks, if you keep that passage there with you, thank you so much, Kerry. I'm going to need that a little bit later on. That's all right. Thank you. Thank you. We just read in our passage, when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, we just talked about crowds, haven't we? Huge crowds that we've all been a part of throughout our lives. I was part of a crowd once. I've been part of many crowds, actually, but the crowd that is most memorable for me is when I went also, like Mike, it wasn't the same event, it wasn't Billy Graham, at the Twin Towers at Wembley. I went to see, when I was 7 years old, SummerSlam 1992. And if you don't know what that is, you're probably not a fan of wrestling. It was the first ever event that the WWE, known as WWF back then, ran abroad outside of the United States. I was there. I was there with my brothers and my dad. What an event it was. The Macho Man Randy Savage was there. The British Bulldog was there. Brett the Hitman Hart was there. The only person I'm seeing nodding is Stuart here. He knows exactly what I'm talking about. What an occasion it was. 90,000 souls were there cheering on this amazing event. And the thing about events like that, whether it be, you know, the WWE or whether it be Billy Graham or whether it be Fatboy Slim on the Brighton seafront, is that everybody knows why they're there, yeah? Everybody's cheering, everybody's enjoying, everybody's together focused on the end goal, which is to enjoy the show, right? Or to hear something good. People know why they are there. But here with this crowd that we read about in Mark chapter 6, Jesus looks out and he sees thousands of people, perhaps not as many as the Twin Towers or Fatboy Slim, but he sees thousands of people who are like sheep without a shepherd. Like sheep without a shepherd. And what Jesus is saying there, essentially, is that here is a group of people who are wandering around aimlessly, right, through the wilderness. There's no real sense of why they're there. They've seen something interesting. They don't know why they're there. They don't really know where they're going. And isn't that a very good description, my brothers and sisters, of the human condition? Isn't that a good description of the human condition? Because I speak to people all the time who don't really know what life is for. They don't know why they're here. They don't know why they do the things that they do, right? You know, we grow up and we go to school and we get a mortgage and we beaver away doing all these different things. But what is the reason for those things? Why are we doing them? Is that all there is to life? Or are we just wandering around like sheep without a shepherd? Do you know, in God's word, the Bible, Jesus gives us purpose in life. The goal of your life isn't those things. Those things are all good things, right? But the goal of your life is something that is infinitely higher, that God has designed for you. And that is to come to know him, to be in relationship with him, in a relationship that lasts forever, for you to be caught up into the very life of God. That is why you were made. That is the purpose of your life. And only Jesus can guide you to that purpose. And that truth about you, that is not just a truth and a purpose for those who are in this building this morning. That is the universal purpose of all human beings. That is why we were made. And Jesus looks on at all these people wandering around like sheep without a shepherd, all these people wandering around, not knowing where they're going, not knowing why they're here, and he has compassion on them. My friends, as we engage with the people around us, whether it be our neighbours or our classmates or our work colleagues or our family members who don't know Jesus, do we see them with those eyes? And are our hearts filled with that compassion of Jesus? Sheep without a shepherd. What a joy it is to have a shepherd, right? To know where we're going, to know what the purpose and direction of our lives is. Do we have compassion over those who don't have that and long to commend the shepherd to them. Now we see that Jesus, he has compassion on the people, don't we? And so what does Jesus do in response to that compassion? Well, Jesus feeds them, doesn't he? Right? But that is not the first thing that he does. Notice that he says, well, it says here in the passage, Jesus had compassion on them. What verse am I looking at? Verse 34. Jesus had compassion on them, and so he began teaching them. That is interesting, isn't it? He had compassion on them, and so he began teaching them. You see, what Jesus is saying here, what the gospel is teaching us here, is that these people, they were here, but their biggest need was not a fun day out in the desert. Right? Their biggest need was not, you know, a nice Ferrari. Their biggest need was not even to be fed or to be watered. In fact, the food that Jesus then gives them is just a way of sustaining them so that they can receive then their deepest need. Their deepest need was to hear the word of God, wasn't it? He began teaching them. Because Jesus, he is the one who has the words of life. We're not here just because it's a nice thing to come and hear these quaint old stories and to hear these nice things that G us along for the rest of the week and perk us up, some kind of pep talk. We're here because we recognize that the words of Christ are words of life. Right? They are living bread to sustain our souls. They keep us going. They're words that if we heed them, if we take them into ourselves, if we act upon them, if we build our life on them, we will live forever because of Jesus. It's why as a church we seek to found and ground everything that we do on God's word. That's why God's word has such priority in our lives together. That's why when we gather together, we will never ever find ourselves saying, look, let's minimize the reading of the word. Let's minimize the preaching of the word. Because God's word, the words of Jesus, they are the thing that give life. They're what we most need. Look, we serve here in this church in various ways, don't we? We serve the needs of our community. We serve people of all ages, people of all types, in all sorts of different ways. But if we are Jesus' disciples, if we're those who are seeking to imitate the way of Jesus, then we need to realize that the biggest need of the people around us is to hear Jesus' words, to hear those words of life, to be shepherded by Jesus through those words. So that's why we're very much a Bible-shaped church. That's why we want to be people of the word, because that is the deepest need that sheep without shepherd have, to be shepherded by Jesus through the word. Now, thirdly, we see that the crowd is hungry. It gets hungry. That's inevitably what happens with crowds. I can't imagine how many hot dogs must have been sold on Brighton Beach that day for Fat Boy Slim. Can you imagine? Hundreds of thousands of hot dogs, hundreds of thousands of pints of beer being served out, and slushies and all that kind of stuff. And a crowd like this one, 5,000 men, right? We haven't even counted the women yet. Let's just average that out. There are going to be 5,000 women. We haven't counted the children yet. Thousands of people, tens of thousands of people. And inevitably, like any crowd, they're going to get hungry. But this is the interesting thing here, is that Jesus, he asks his disciples, you notice this in verse 37, he asks them to do something that is impossible, doesn't he? The crowd is hungry, and Jesus says, you, my disciples, you give them something to eat. Now remember here, there are only 12 inner core disciples, right? They'd have had to have pretty big lunch boxes or backpacks or whatever it is, cool bags, yeah? It is not something that is possible, even at the best of times. And here they are, they muster together everything they have. They muster together all the bread they've got, all the fish they've got, all the food they've got. And all they can come up with is 5 loaves of bread and 2 measly fish to feed thousands of people. That is impossible, isn't it? What is Jesus' response to them when they come back with those 5 loaves and those 2 fish? Did Jesus say, look, go back and find more? Does Jesus say, obviously that's not enough, what are you doing? He doesn't say either of those things, does he? He receives what they have. And then we see this amazing miracle, don't we? Where Jesus keeps doling out more and more food, and everybody within the whole party of these thousands of people are all fed by these 5 loaves and these 2 fish. And this is a miracle, isn't it, that makes us go, wow! Food generated out of thin air. It's a miracle that speaks of Jesus' identity as God, isn't it? Because it is only God who, by the mere word, can create something from something that is not there. And here is Jesus feeding thousands of people through these small fishes, small loaves. But you know what? As much as it is an amazing miracle that Jesus has just performed here, and as much as it shows us his power and his identity, and it makes us go, wow, what Jesus is really doing here is he is teaching us a central principle of the kingdom of God. That is what Jesus is doing. He's teaching us an essential principle of his kingdom. Because the disciples, they don't have what it takes. In and of themselves, they lack the resources to do that which Jesus has called them to do, don't they? Jesus has called them to feed this multitude, and they don't have enough to do so. Give me a nod if you agree. That's true, isn't it? They don't have what is needed. But Jesus takes the little bit that they do have, and he multiplies it, doesn't he? He takes a little bit that they have and he turbocharges it, right? He puts his divine power into the little that they have. You see, that is the principle of the kingdom that we see at work here. Jesus, he takes the little that they have. He takes that which is not enough and he makes it enough by his power. And that is what Jesus does among us. That is what Jesus does with his church today. He takes the little that we have, the bit that we have that is not enough to fulfill the mission that we have within this parish of Denton and Southayton and Tarring Neville. No, it's the other way around, isn't it? Denton with Southayton and Tarring Neville. And yet he, Anne's nodding, PCC secretary is nodding profusely there. I got that right. That's good, isn't it? Jesus takes the little that we have and he can make it enough for us to fulfill our mission, to make the gospel known to every man, woman and child in this parish. Do you know, this last week, Marcus and I, we've been away at a couple of clergy conferences, haven't we? 2 very different types of conference. One of the things that we've noticed, though, is we've been to 2 churches which are just so well-resourced. These amazing buildings, weren't they, Marcus? And you go there and you get building envy. I mean, look, we've got a wonderful building, but when you've got this massive, colossal cathedral-like structure built to seat 1,000 with all this amazing oak furniture, all, you know, recently refurbished and this amazing audiovisual technology, staff members coming out their ears, bank accounts with millions of pounds in them. That's not quite where we're at, okay? I'm going to be honest with you. And you go there and you know, that kind of fleshly part of you gets a bit of building resource envy, you know, as a minister. But Jesus takes what we do have and he makes it enough. If we have him, my brothers and sisters, if we've got Jesus, the resources that we have, they are enough. Aren't they? Not in and of themselves, but in his hands, the resources are enough. And you, whatever you've been called to in your own personal life, because let's face it, as we gather together as church, that is one calling that we have. But God has placed a calling upon you in your own life as you go out into your neighborhood, in your family, in your home, in your workplace, in your school. God has called you to do something for his glory. Do you ever feel like you're not enough? Do you ever feel like you're not bright enough? I'm not confident enough, Lord. I'm no longer young enough, Lord. Perhaps I'm not old enough, Lord. I am not this enough. I am not that enough. But this passage teaches us that the little that we do have, whatever it might be, when we place it in Jesus' hands, he can do that which is impossible. I want to just close with a prayer and just reflect on some of these things and pray them in and apply them to our own situations personally, our situation as a church family within this parish. So why don't you join me? Why don't you close your eyes and let's think together on what God is calling us to do and let's respond. And we want to say, Lord, give us eyes to see, Father, the reality of those around us. So many within our community who are doing wonderful things, good things, Lord, and yet there's a sense in which without Jesus, we are like sheep without a shepherd. There's no real direction. There's no real end goal. Lord, give us eyes to see and compassionate hearts to realize that he is the answer. He is the shepherd. And we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being our shepherd. And Lord, give us a perception to see that our great need, the great need of those outside of this building this morning, is the words of Jesus. Give us a love for your word, Jesus. Give us hearts that jump at the opportunity to hear your words and to obey them, to put them into practice. And Lord, you've given me and you've given us everything that we need to live out the calling that you've placed on our lives, individually, corporately. Not because in and of itself it is enough, Lord, but because in your hands you can use even the small to do something great. And so I want you to think this morning, my brothers and sisters, what do you have? What little do you have that you know Jesus is calling on you to place into his hands, that he might use it for his glory? It might be that you feel like you have limited gifts to offer in his service within this church. Bring them. He can use those gifts. It might be that as we talk about partnering with the church financially, you feel like the offering that you bring would be so small that it would be almost embarrassing. Bring it in his hands. He uses the little that we have for great things. It might be that you feel you lack courage or boldness. You feel like you lack energy or youth and vigor.
Bring what you have. He can use the modest things that we offer to his glory. His power is made perfect in weakness. And we praise you, Jesus, for speaking this word to our hearts this morning. Help us to respond to your goodness and your grace. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.